This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1. Let's go!
And welcome to episode 245 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 29th of June 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, Steve, Jacob, Brent, and myself, Andrew. Looks like we've got a pretty busy one there today. And we have a special guest today. It's Aussie IT recruitment specialist Ashley Pettit from digital380.com.au. How you doing there, Brad?
How you going, mate?
I'm doing pretty good. I hear you have changed technology providers this week. I think something about a Samsung S4, isn't it?
I have, mate. I've gone to the Android.
Gone to the Android. One of them, hey? You're following Robert Scoble and Chris Voss and the likes?
I am indeed, and so far, mate, I love it.
Good stuff, good stuff. And I hear Jacob's got a new toy, which you might ask him about shortly as well.
I will be. Actually, that's a good point. We'll actually be doing announcing another podcast on the Tech Webcast.
Good stuff.
Can't wait for that. We've got Steve back on this week. Steve, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm still getting nerdy with it from the guest we're on that show yesterday.
You just said the name, mate. Please tell me you didn't forget it, the name of it, the podcast.
Get nerdy with it, right?
That's it. That's the one. Also, we got Jody back on. Welcome back, Jody.
Hey, how you doing, Brad?
Did you have fun yesterday on the podcast?
I did. Jennifer is such a wonderful host, and she made everybody feel very welcome. It was a lot of fun.
It was indeed a lot of fun. Jacob Jones, what's up in your neighborhood?
I don't know right now, Holmes.
All right. Okay, whatever. We got Brent on for the first time. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Hey, Brad, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Good. First time on Tech Podcast. Good to have you on, Matt. And also, what else are we missing? That's it. Is that it?
We have Ashley Pettit on from
Ashley.
Digital 380.
How are you, mate? Welcome to the show.
How are you going? Going well. Thanks for having me.
Good, mate. We actually caught up. I met you in the office one day when I got you on the podcast.
Yeah, we did in Zappo HQ.
Yeah, it's a small office, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's going well, though. It's coming together.
You still in the same spot there, mate, next to him?
No, I've actually moved out of that office, upgrading.
Really? Why can't he upgrade?
He will soon. Once Zappo takes over the world, I'm sure he will.
I'm sure you could probably hook him up with a better office.
Oh, hopefully soon.
We don't need all the fancy trimmings just yet, Brad. It's all about getting the hard work done first, mate, before we spend the money.
I know. I was joking. That was a joke, by the way. What else, Andrew's been happening? How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, week's been pretty good. Just been working away, doing app things for the product, and pretty straightforward week. It's been a bit chilly in Melbourne, but just moving through it all, so can't complain. My footy team won on Thursday night in a pretty close match, so it's been okay, and I've got a really good mate, my best man at my wedding, his birthday tonight, so going to hit up a few beers and should be fun.
All right, get drunk. Jacob, before I forget, mention what we're doing in a couple of weeks.
We're going to have a new podcast, a new Android podcast.
Yep, tell them all. When is it about and stuff? We'll tell them how it's going to work.
Well, we're going to talk about the apps, devices, and the apparel that comes with it.
That's the one. And, Android. We're going to have Android. Do you like Android, Andrew?
I'm sort of out of the loop. I like the idea of it, and I know that they've really been taking over the Apple space a whole lot lately, but I'm still not quite on board. When the Google Glass is available to me in Australia, that may start to influence me. I'm pretty disappointed that Apple are going with a 5S instead of actually changing to a little bit bigger real estate with the screen and moving to a version 6 product.
Oh, really? What size screen is it going to be for the iPhone 5S, do you know?
It's going to be the same size, apparently. It's going to be the same physical structure. So I think they've sort of dropped the ball on that one. But it's going to have two flashes at the back of it. So two separate camera flashes. I think one will be a flash for light for like daytime and one will be for nighttime. So, but I don't think it's enough innovation. So I think they're going to lose some more people.
Yeah, well, a girl on Google Plus, by the name of Stacey, she had an iPhone and she's gone to the HTC One just a few days ago.
Well,
and a lot of people are moving from iPhone to Android. It's quite interesting.
But when I'm on the train. Steve.
Yeah, I don't think screen size is necessarily innovative in itself. I think Apple kind of recognizes that, well, not just Apple, but some surveys done that the average screen size that people prefer is normally around 5 inches. I think 4.9 was the average. There are some niche users that want bigger screens, yes. I don't know. We'll see. It's the current trend right now a little bit, but, you know, we need to still wait and see what the future still holds.
Well, having a biggest...
Hey, guys, did I miss an announcement? Was the 5S actually announced?
No, it's just a rumor, I think, that Andrew said.
What's that?
I think it's just a rumor, I think. Is it a rumor, Andrew? Or?
I'm not sure. I've seen a number of articles, and they seem to be talking about it like it's fact. So I sort of thought that I might have missed an announcement. But, to my knowledge, and with the articles I've read, it's been announced, but I can't confirm that.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see.
What I've seen is leaks of information, but I haven't seen anything definitive.
Yeah, I follow this pretty closely. I can tell you for sure there's been some photo leaks coming out of China at the manufacturing hub in Foxconn, indicating that the 5S does have some physical changes, like a change to the LEDs flash and some other changes, like a slightly larger battery. And the screen size is supposedly be the same, but it hasn't been formally announced yet. And the thinking now is that if there is a bigger model coming, it could be a different production line. Mm. So come the fall, they'll launch a 5S of the same size and maybe a 5S Plus that's bigger. But yeah, the current thinking is the size won't change for the next cycle.
So all there right. You go. Tech Webcast is the Fox News of reporting. We run with the rumor.
We do indeed. So JD, what's your view on this new Android podcast? You know, like Android?
You know, honestly, I know Robert Scoble decided suddenly that he was going to go all Android. He was one of the original, in my opinion, Apple fanboys.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, before it became popular, and now he switches to Android, and now it seems like there's a lot of people who are switching. Personally, I still think that Apple's a superior product, and you know, I think Android has a lot of cool features. I agree 100% with what you said, Andrew, that if Google Glass takes on and becomes more prevalent, the ability to integrate with it will probably be a big boost for Android. So it's still, I think everything's still, you know, in flux and still kind of figuring out who's going to be the dominant force. But I still am sticking with my Apple.
That's right. I agree. I think the Apple, I still use my iPhone 5, still have it on. I haven't given it to anyone, I still have it. So, you know, it's still a good phone. Jacob, what do you reckon?
I don't know, but I'm getting a Nexus 7 soon.
Okay, well, you enjoy that, and don't drop it, will you?
Oh, I won't. I have a skin already for
it. Good stuff. Ashley, what's your view on all this? Are you an Apple person or whatever?
Yeah, no, see, I personally love my iPhone. I just think the one thing that the Android has never mastered, and maybe this is just because I am used to an iPhone, but I've always found that iPhones are really easy to use. So they're always the guys who do their user interface, you know, they know what they're doing. They know how to make a really, really simple product. I've tried to pick up Android phones and they're just, I mean, maybe it's because I'm an iPhone user, but to me they feel much harder to pick up.
Well, I've had my phone since Wednesday. Since then, I haven't actually picked up my iPhone since, so there you go.
That's interesting, actually. I agree 100%. I mean, it's all about user experience, and that's what John Ivey, who's the industrial experience designer at Apple, that's what he's absolutely best at, is getting the user experience 100% spot on. And my wife recently switched from Android to an iPhone simply because she said that the experience is so much better on the iPhone for the common person. I mean, we're all a bit techie, She loves the iPhone just for that because it makes a whole lot of sense. So it's there's a lot of people moving to Android, but the people who are moving to Android, they are the tech people. You know, the average Joe on the street, they are moving slowly, but not in anywhere near the same amount of people.
Yeah, I just remember the first day I picked up my iPhone, I could use it. I mean, without reading a manual, without looking around through menus, without even thinking about it, I could use it. And that's to me what I thought, you know, it was really, you know, good credit to Apple for making a product which is so easy to use.
Exactly. All right, who's making that noise with their screen? Are you on a laptop?
Not sure. Maybe we have a ghost.
I don't know who that. I don't know what that noise was. But anyway, let's jump into the news. Jody Rains.
Okay. Yeah, and a lot of stuff happening this week. You know, Apple. You guys got me. Appleized. Facebook recently launched hashtags, and now they're launching hashtag mobile site support. And it's interesting. What I noticed is that, you know, with Facebook Edge, when people have stories where there's a lot of comments on them, those stories rise to the top. If you put out a story or an article or a picture and nobody comments on it, it seems to fall off pretty quickly. Well, they, Facebook, are on a quest to get you more involved in real-time global conversations. And it took the next step today towards challenging Twitter. They added hashtag support to their mobile site, and they launched something called related hashtags. So as of this evening, when you click on a hashtag, the results page is going to show you other hashtags, some of which would be posted at the same time. So Facebook brought these Twitter hashtags to the masses earlier this month. You know, remember, you know, hashtags on Facebook, I would say probably about 2 weeks ago they were introduced. But now there's mobile support, so it's a little bit more powerful than it was before. So I'm just curious if you guys have checked it out, what you think, if you think it's going to make any difference. Don't everybody speak at once?
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think hashtags are a natural evolution. I mean, really, all they are is keywords, basically. It's just a keyword that unifies information. So the fact that it's in a hashtag is just a really great vehicle that Twitter introduced, and we all know how to use it. We've all seen it. We've all heard it. So Facebook introducing it is just making sure that they're one of the team, that they've got the same function as everybody else. Obviously, you can also get your hashtags on other platforms like Instagram and things like that. I think it will be as good as any other platform. I don't like the idea of clicking on a hashtag and seeing related hashtags because I don't trust the algorithm that they would add for that. I think that's not necessary. But yeah, it's just Facebook making sure they're one of the guys and just bringing on a function that everyone else has got.
I think they're late to the party, but they're doing this now for a reason. I think they know that they're losing their biggest demographic of young people, and Twitter is where they're spending more of their time. So copying to that and saying, well, we need to bring that kind of functionality in so it's easy to join existing conversations is right to do now so we don't lose more of our young base.
Yeah, Facebook right. Users are getting away from Facebook, some are going to Twitter. I don't know. I don't really use hashtags. There's just so many hashtags out there, and I don't know. A lot of people throw out so many hashtags. There's just so many to look through. I don't know. I could see it being useful though, if it's not overused.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jody, Jake, what's your view on that story?
I would be careful with hashtags. I don't use hashtags.
But hashtags do come in handy if you want to promote something, like a podcast and that sort of stuff, and, you know, it's good to...
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, sometimes I don't want to... I don't know what type of hashtag I would like to put up, but... Mm. I've seen them, but they're very useful, though.
Oh, yeah, they are very useful. What about you, Ashley? Do you use hashtags?
Oh, look, I can't say I'm the biggest user of hashtags, but one thing I thought that they're really cool for is, I'm a huge fan of the show Survivor, and every so often it will, like, down the bottom of the show, and I'm sure a lot of shows are the same, down the bottom it will show you a hashtag to so you can come on and, like, chat about what's happening live on the show, so that you've got all the people chatting about the, you know, the given topic just on the hashtag which has been given by Survivor. And, you know, I think that's really cool. You can like, you know, get this hashtag Survivor Elimination, and you can, I don't know. And now with Facebook, bring that out. You'll be able to just jump on Facebook rather than on Twitter, and you'll be able to chat to other, you know, other users about, oh, hey, you know, Marie just got voted out. Yeah, I really deserved it or whatever. And I think that's kind of cool.
It's a really good point. There was actually an article during the Super Bowl, and they said that they looked at all of the ads during the Super Bowl, and something like 80% of them put a deeper emphasis on mentioning Twitter because of hashtags, because they could actually bring all of that content, all of that conversation together, which mattered. Maybe this is Facebook following just exactly as you said, Ashley. Maybe they're starting to feel left out. Whenever you watch a TV show, you see a hashtag in the corner for Twitter conversation. Maybe Facebook is seeing that, you know, they want to be a part of that party.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay, what else is on, Jody?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff going on with Vine. For one thing, Vine recently started shipping for Android. And when they did, there was one universal complaint among the users, and that was that it didn't support front-facing cameras. And very quickly, after their first release, roughly 4 or 5 days after the first release, they came out with a new build that includes a front-facing camera, a new upload manager for unsubmitted photos, improvements to settings, improvements to camera loading time, support for more devices, speed improvements overall. So Vine for Android seems to be picking up speed. But at the same time that this was announced, what's interesting is that Twitter-owned micro video service Vine seems to be on the decline, while Instagram, which introduced a competing service, seems to be on the rise. Some of the stats that I've found include the fact that on June 15th, users shared almost 3 million Vine links. Okay, 4 days later, on June 19th, Topsy reported 2.5 million shares of Vine videos. So that's down roughly 500,000. On June 20th, the next day, that figure plunged to 1.5 million. And on June 27th, which was yesterday, Vine sharing dipped below 900,000. During that same time period, Instagram sharing on Twitter edged up as Vine waned. Instagram sharing spiked by almost 250,000 links, a 17% jump on June 20th. So I don't think that Vine is dead. It's interesting that Android, you guys just got a better Vine, while Instagram seems to be heating up.
Well, all I want to say is that Vine app is still slow. It doesn't even load videos for me. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't load very fast. It's really slow. I don't use Vine. It sucks. I use Instagram. Jacob, do you use Vine?
Yes.
You use Vine?
I look at the stuff that I have on Vine. That's it.
Okay. What about you, Andrew? Do you use Vine? Yes or no?
I've used it a couple times, but I can't get into 6-second video. It's not enough content. Even 15 seconds for me, I'm not convinced it's enough, and it really annoys me having to sit there and scroll through and sort of you wait and you're not sure if it's loading and you're not sure if it is, and you click play and it actually pauses. Even with both of them, I'm not convinced it's quite right yet.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon, yeah. Joe, do you use Vine at all? Do you use Vine?
You know what? I have, but not that frequently. Okay. And I'm not really a big Instagram user either, so I can't say that I'm switching from one to the other. I use other photo apps, I guess, more than that.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Brent? Do you use any of them services?
I've never made a Vine. I've watched a couple, and they're interesting, but not much interest there.
Okay. What about you, Steve?
I think I did try it maybe for, you know, not very long. I don't know. It's Vine, I kind of think, is a little bit like Twitter, where they kind of restrict their characters, like Twitter, to 140 characters, which I like, because that kind of forces you to be a little bit more creative. Because I don't like to read. Just imagine if you made it unlimited, you know, you'd be having to read like Encyclopedia said each time you go on Twitter. So I'm kind of wondering if Vine was kind of doing the same thing, even though I think they should have extended it past 6 seconds and, you know, added a little bit more features.
Mm. What about Instagram? What's your view on Instagram with video now, Steve?
I think they did add quite a bit, something more to what Vine did. like the you know, the backward or the adding the extra camera. Well, yeah. Filters, so-so.
Yeah,
I think
I love the filters. I think Instagram video is way better than Vine personally. You can do so much more with it, and you know, you can choose the thumbnail and that sort of stuff, and it's really good.
I think video stabilization and you know, some other features.
Yep. All right, Jody. Next, tell us. Did we miss anyone? Is that it?
Ashley, do you use video or Instagram
or
Vine?
No, honestly, I'm not really much of a fan of Vine. That's hence the no comment.
Mm. Okay. That's what your mama taught you, is it?
Yeah.
If you can't say anything nice.
Good eye.
Okay, so next up, now you can browse Twitter's hashtag music. I don't know if you call it hashtag music or pound music iPhone app by genre and with new charts. So Twitter released an update to the Twitter Music iPhone app today. Should make it easier to explore different types of music. Previously, you could find different artists in the app through two charts, either popular or emerging. Popular was the real focus, and that's where you were taken when you opened up the app. That makes sense because the goal of Twitter Music is to highlight the music that's most popular on Twitter. But if you're interested in the absolute top of the charts, the updated app now allows you to focus on the types of music that interest you. So you can explore music based on genres, like heavy metal, hip-hop, etc. There's also new charts, specifically Superstars, Unearthed, and Hunted. Unearthed, that focuses on hidden talent found in tweets. Hunted highlights popular music on blogs. Superstars seems self-explanatory. So now Twitter's highlighting all of the new options by opening the app in a charts genres navigation screen rather than when you open it up taking you directly to popular. So new music feature.
Nice.
Oh, you know, what do you guys, anybody using it yet?
Yes, I've used it on my iPhone just the other day, actually, before Wednesday. The update came out. It's a really nice app. Yeah, I like it. Nice interface and really clean and easy to use now, and it's really good. Love it. Get it now. Get it today. Jacob, have you used it?
Yes, but I killed it right away.
Why is that?
I use Spotify.
Oh my
god. That's a lot better.
Oh my god, yes.
Even though it says it has Spotify integration.
Andrew, do you use this?
No, I don't. I just have local MP3s. I don't really use Spotify. I don't do much with music online at all, to be honest.
I love Spotify. Joe, do you use Spotify or that app at all?
Not that much. Most of the music I listen to, I don't really care to have everybody else know what I'm listening to. Mm. So I'm not a big social sharing music platform user.
Fair enough. Brent, do you use that app at all or Spotify?
I'm a Pandora guy. I jumped on that early and I've been using it for a long time and it knows exactly now what I'm into and it does such a great job. I'm sticking with Pandora for now.
All right. Good answer. Ashley, what are you?
Yeah, definitely much of a Pandora user. Used to have Spotify, so I could Spotify, but got sick of paying for it, so now I'm just a Pandora guy.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That. All right. Steve, what about you?
I haven't never used it. Actually, I'm waiting for iTunes Radio myself, but, you know.
Yeah, iTunes Radio should be good. I can't wait to use that. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that.
Yeah, that's going to be good, that iTunes Radio. Jody, next story.
Okay, from the distinctly annoying category, Facebook has built a new feature which they've codenamed Host Chat, and it lets people set up chat rooms that their friends can join without an invitation. So a source familiar with the feature says that they've begun testing this feature in the wild, reminiscent of the old AOL chat rooms, if you guys remember. It could supposedly get Facebook users to meet friends of friends and spend more time on the site. Facebook verified that they are testing the feature. They wouldn't comment on details beyond saying, we do test things from time to time with a small percentage of users. Curious, guys. I mean, I know on Google Plus, when you get invited to one of these Hangouts and you never ask to be invited to it, and suddenly you keep getting pinged even though you try to get out of it. Mm. I don't know. Anybody try it yet? Anybody see it? Anybody think it's a good idea, bad idea?
I haven't tried it, so I'm not sure if it's a bad idea. Well, JD, I know you wouldn't use it. You don't need that sort of stuff. You need a chat room or something, are you?
Oh, I love chat rooms.
Oh, you do?
But only if I'm in the mood for it, though. I mean, I don't want to be interrupted.
Yeah, true. Yeah, definitely. What about you, Jacob? Would you use it?
Yeah, but probably for a little bit, then I'll probably just start tapering off.
Okay, what about you, Andrew? Would you use it?
I think a lot of Facebook these days really is text chat. I mean, we look at our stream, but the text chat has become a really lockdown part of what Facebook is. So as you said, Jody, I think they're trying to look at, if you've got five people in a chat, trying to involve people outside that so that you can expand your friend network, add people who you might have met at a party you wouldn't otherwise add as a friend. But if you're in chat, you're talking to each other, having a laugh, you add them as a friend, makes your stream potentially more interesting. I see what they're trying to do, but I don't know if it's the right direction. I think they should be more looking at trying to make it a better user experience as a point of their news stream and things like that, rather than going down the chat path. Because if they go purely chat and they start to really focus on that, it's not really a definitively unique feature. I mean, someone else can do that better and take them out of it. So I'd be really careful going down that path and making that integral.
Exactly. I don't even have the new Facebook features, the new newsfeed and stuff.
My suspicion is that, I mean, there's people who are saying it's not good enough when you compare it to the Google Plus newsfeed and things like that. My suspicion is that they've already decided they're going to redo it.
Yeah,
and
probably.
So they've only laid it out to about maybe 8% of people.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll even get it, to be honest. I think we'll get the one after that.
Yeah, that's the one with the black side. You know what I'm talking about, the one with the black?
Yeah, yep. I don't think that'll deliver to the rest of them. I mean, that's just my own opinion, but I think that won't end up delivering. I think they'll deliver something else before that happens.
I agree 100%. What about you, Ashley? What do you think about the chat rooms?
Oh, look, I think it sounds like a great idea. Honestly, I think it sounds like what Jody was saying is, you don't want it to devalue the product. You don't want little things annoying you here and there. But if you actually go and click on a thing that says chat room and, you know, I want to be involved in a chat, I think it's a great idea. And I think the main reason is, I mean, let's look at dating, because dating's a huge, huge market. No one really wants to go on a site like RSVP. Let's be honest. No one really wants to go on one of those dating sites. Mm. But think about the dating potential of Facebook and just going on a chat room, having a casual chat with someone, and, you know, maybe you both like each other and decide to catch up. I mean, it's great potential, especially for people who, I know the majority of people are adverse to going on things like RSVP. But yeah, would they use Facebook for dating? I think so. And would the chat rooms facilitate it? Definitely.
All right.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. What about you, Steve?
I think it's a good idea. Like some people mentioned, it may not, be a huge improvement, but I think it'll get people together on common ground, topics, interests, and, you know, to be able to, you know, share things within the chat room. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
All right. Jody, next. Brent, do you have a view on that?
I just say that I think this is another feature that's being rolled out to as a reaction to losing some of their younger base in demographics, and the hashtag, same thing. Creating more of an opportunity to have group chats and, by extension, more networking capabilities on Facebook is definitely for the youngers. And they're going to try and see what happens. And I think that's great experimentation, like Google does.
All right, cool. All right, next story, Jody Rains.
Okay, so we've got three short stories. This first one is regarding Apple filing a patent for a new proprietary port. Evidently, they proposed a solution to multiple port requirements within limited space, and it looks like it's a two-in-one port. It's described as a combined input port where two different interfaces could be in one port. The input port includes an outer wall defining a receiving aperture, a substrate positioned within the receiving aperture. One set of contacts is configured to communicate with the first connector, and the second set of contacts is configured to communicate with the second connector. Well, basically what that means is that they're trying to put two into one.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
What, is this for a phone?
Could be for anything, I guess.
Is this for anything, or what is this for?
It's just a patent application.
Oh, I can respond on this. I actually read that news story. I think it could be quite useful. Give an example, like the MacBook Airs, where you're kind of limited, especially with the 11-inch version, on what ports you can put in there. So by combining two, even though it might be slightly larger, you can, you know, make room for it on small items. It could be, I don't know, even the iPhone. So I believe Android has Samsung has something very similar. I think they use two ports for or two ports into one as well, but I can't remember what they were, like USB and something else. Maybe somebody else can add to that.
It was a USB combined with a eSATA port, so you could use one or the other.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, good view on that story?
Not really, to be honest. Not really.
All right. Jacob, good of you?
No.
All right. Who else? Ashley, what about you?
No review there.
All right, move on. JD Raines.
Told you these are three short ones. Okay,
yeah,
next
let's
one.
Hit the next two.
Yeah, okay. Microsoft Research adds mood detection to smartphones. So apparently researchers at Microsoft Research, it's good that they're researchers at Microsoft Research, they've produced a prototype software system that can be used on smartphones to infer a user's mood, kind of like a mood ring. So the MoodScope system produced by researchers uses smartphone usage patterns to determine whether someone is happy, calm, excited, bored, stressed, and it could potentially add a new dimension to mobile apps. So that's the story, guys. What do you think?
I think it sounds interesting. Andrew?
I think it's all about context, isn't it? It moves closer to that context that Shell Israel and Robert Scoble are working on. It's just the next step in what will be the evolution of technology and man coming together.
Just try not to move your mic around too much, Andrew. That's where the noise comes from. All right, Brent, do you have a view on that story?
I hope you can turn it off. I don't know if I want my phone knowing my mood at all times. I will say that apparently Siri does this already vocally. If she stresses voice or can hear stress in your voice, she won't be playful or give silly answers. But if you're like, do this, do that, it'll just be to the point. So learning about the mood of the user is definitely big.
Wow, interesting.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either. That's cool. Very cool. Steve, Ashley, what do you reckon?
I think it sounds a bit far-fetched to me, to be honest. I wonder how accurate it is and whether it's really necessary. I think to me it's a little far-fetched and maybe not necessary.
All right, Jacob?
I agree with Brent. Yeah, I don't want to know your mood at every 5 to 10 seconds.
Okay, all right, JD, next story.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Microsoft Xbox One Kinect will not work on Windows PCs. That's kind of the story, but basically the report is that Microsoft Xbox One Kinect will not work on Microsoft PCs. It uses a proprietary connector, and an adapter will not be available. So if you want to Kinect for your PC, you need to buy a Kinect for Windows product.
Yeah, that's a good good answer for that. I would agree. Andrew, what do you reckon?
Basically, I spent $1,000 on a steering wheel and pedal set about a year ago for the Xbox 360 that is compatible with PlayStation and desktop. It won't be compatible with Microsoft, the Xbox One, so I will be moving to PS4 so they can do whatever they need to do because they've already lost my business.
Are you serious? You're moving to PS3, mate? Come on.
I'm moving to PS4.
I mean, PS4.
Well, look, as Jody just said, all they're doing is they're blocking any existing peripherals and things like that to try and gain more momentum. Now they're blocking their own, operating system because they want everyone to buy the platform and buy all of the existing stuff, new stuff. So all your existing stuff will be no good. I'm not that sold that it's going to be as good as worth restocking everything I own.
What are you going to do with the old Xbox stuff?
Haven't thought that far ahead.
What are you going
to
get?
I've got two Xboxes, so I'll either keep them or sell them. I'll probably keep them.
What are you going to do? When are you going to get the PS4?
Haven't thought that far ahead. I think it comes out towards the end of the year. I'm not in any real rush. I mean, I play my little car thing probably once a week for about an hour. But, when I get to the point that it's time to upgrade, I may not even grab the PS4 straight off the shelf. When I get to the point that it feels like time to upgrade, I'll have a look and see what's happening at the time. They may backtrack on a lot of this as well because they've already backtracked on some of their the initial ability to buy an Xbox One game and not be able to sell it because it needed internet authority. When you actually plug it in, they've backtracked on that now so that you will be able to do a number of things without needing internet connection. So it's all sort of speculation. They're probably putting a lot of feelers out to the market to see what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. So when it all releases and when everything's done towards the end of the year, we'll probably have a much better idea on what's real and what's not.
Good answer, Andrew. As always, Jacob Jones. Jacob,
give me a second.
Oh, come on. What are you doing?
Taking a drink.
Oh, for God's sake. Come on. Yeah, what's your view on that story?
Yeah, if the Xbox Kinect, the new one won't work on the PC, but someone out there on the end of that that post, it said someone already hacked it.
Yeah.
And now it works on the PC.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Brent, what about you?
I agree with Jacob. I think by the end of the year, there'll be a $10 US part you can get on eBay that'll convert this new proprietary connector for Xbox One Kinect to USB 3.
Definitely. All right. Steve.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. There might be a third-party adapter to bypass that. But then you got to worry about, is that going to interfere with patents or if they have it patented or something like that?
Mm. Okay. Jody, next story.
Yeah, just a couple of farewells. One is basically a farewell to AltaVista, which was the Google of its time. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was a one-sentence send-off that Yahoo gave AltaVista today, announcing a July 8th closure date. For those of you who are youngins and grew up in the Google generation, AltaVista was like the search engine at one point, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was actually pretty cool, but as Google started to get more prominent, AltaVista kind of declined. And unfortunately, I guess it's ta-ta.
Yep.
Farewell.
Farewell to you, and happy birthday to Google. That turns two today. Did you know that, Jody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. We should have mentioned it in the news story. Okay, happy birthday to Google. Andrew?
I loved AltaVista. It was
Google
the best thing
sorry.
Ever.
Google Plus, I mean, turn two, sorry. Yep. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I loved AltaVista. It was the best thing ever when it came out. But, you know, we were sort of in between AltaVista and then Yahoo, which was just so noisy and so much news and all this other stuff. And, you know, everyone sort of quickly moved. I remember using Google. I reckon I was one of the very first sort of people to use Google. I was introduced to it by one of my tech guys at the time. And it was just this little company and it didn't work half the time. If only I'd bought shares back then. You know.
Right.
Right.
All right, Jacob, what's your view on that story?
No comment, because I don't use AltaVista.
Well, you did. Okay. What about you, Steve?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I never thought that the AltaVista was still around nowadays. Because once Google came out, I pretty much went to that. Because, you know, usually when I put something in there, it'd find mostly what I was looking for in Google. So.
Yep. Okay. Ashley?
Yeah, I never used AltaVista, but I mean, one thing I am sad about is I heard they're getting rid of iGoogle, which I'm a big fan of. I think it closes down in November for some reason. Don't know why they're getting rid of it, but okay. Yeah.
Interesting. What about you, Brent?
Never used it.
Yeah, same. Never used it as well. Okay, JD, next story.
You guys are such kids. My God.
Mm-hmm. All right, next story.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
But I'm sure they love Snapchat.
Okay, so I picked two more stories, and they're kind of related. And the reason that I picked them, I'll tell you right up front. One of my biggest frustrations with my Apple, my iPhone, is the battery. And I'm convinced that there's got to be a better way. So the first story has to do with a 15-year-old girl. She's created a flashlight. And what's kind of unique about it is that the flashlight, it's an LED flashlight, is powered by body heat. Instead of having to recharge it or swap a new AA's so every so often, all you need to do is hold it in your hand for it to start glowing. Smart girl, she came up with this idea, she researched it, and she came across a device called a Peltier tile. It produces electricity when cooled on one side and warmed on the other. She thought it through. She put all the parts together and she created this flashlight. made out of aluminum pipe, one of aluminum pipe and one made out of PVC. Wow. And she was one of the 15 Google Science Fair finalists from around the world. And I threatened you with two stories because that's one. And the second story has to do with another device, which is one of the Kickstarter opportunities. And it happens to be something called a voltmeter. And it's a little rod-type device. And the way it produces energy is actually through kinetic activity. So this little rod, by shaking it or rattling it, there's a little spring-loaded mechanism that it spins inside, kind of like a rattle, and that's what causes the energy to be produced. So I'm excited about the fact that there are these new ideas that people are being creative about ways to produce energy. First of all, we're not, you know, using any fossil fuel. Second of all, we're, you know, it's something that is portable and obviously available if it's just your body heat. And what I'm excited about is hopefully this gets conveyed into some way to make my iPhone stay alive longer. So I'll throw it out there to you guys if you have any thoughts.
Actually, that first story about that girl making that voice thing, where is she from?
Let's see.
Because I wouldn't mind getting her on the podcast. That's
Victoria, BC. So she's Canadian.
Okay, cool. Right? We'll have to get her on the podcast, and that's interesting. That's what she made. That sounds good. Interesting. All right, Andrew, what about you?
Yeah, that's really interesting, the body heat one. I think, you know, it could be a very first step in a huge forward direction, even if we can harness some of, you know, body heat as energy to, you know, continue your phone battery up.
It's, yeah, definitely. Are going to be great. That's
very, very interesting step forward. I'm almost surprised that it took a 15-year-old girl to do that when we're probably paying, you know, billions of dollars around the world in technology R&D.
Well, that's what you might have to do, Andrew. Go and hire some young people and get them in to work for you.
I've done that. Thanks to Ashley, but we'll touch on that shortly.
Okay, let's move really quick on this. Brent, what about you?
I saw the video. I think it's definitely proof of concept right now. It's not ready for the market at all, but it's really interesting.
All right, Jacob. Jacob.
Okay, I'm here.
Go ahead.
My mouse is touchy, so.
Okay.
What I say is, that's a pretty good little device. Mm-hmm. I'll probably use it up for my iPad.
Same. I'll probably use it for my iPad too. And yeah, right there. What about you, Steve?
I had something to cut in.
Go ahead, Jacob.
What I was saying is, like, if I'm far away from the car and not too close to a power port where I could plug into, I could just hook that up and whammo.
Yep.
And have full charge.
Yep, I agree, mate. Steve?
It's funny because I'm actually fairly good at electronics, and I am familiar with such devices. You can use heat and cold to make electricity. But I would never thought of using something as simple and easy as a flashlight, because you got to hold that flashlight and then you could use that to recharge the batteries and actually operate it like that. So I think it's amazing, an idea.
All right. Yep. I agree. Great idea. Let's get her on the podcast soon. Jody, is that it?
Whoops. Sorry. I was muted. Yep. Those are our stories for this week.
Good stories.
Good news, Jody.
Whoever added him in, that's great. Great stories, by the way, Jacob. But you're the one who added them in, actually. Good story, Jacob.
Thank you.
All right, Andrew, let's get into the guest, mate. Who we have on today? Ashley.
Yes, we have Ashley Pettit on today from digital380.com.au. Ashley is a, I guess you could say he's almost a colleague of mine. He worked in the same office that I was in, and he's now moved on to bigger and better things. So Ashley is in IT recruitment, and he's a younger guy in an industry that's usually filled with older heads. So g'day, Ashley. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, going well, thank you. Yes, no, I mean, yeah, definitely recruitment's definitely filled by, I guess a much older sort of person. I started off my career in two very big IT recruitment agencies, so I've seen the light of how it's usually done and how the interview process is usually done. But I think the start of this year, I started up my own agency, trying to get things a little bit more fresh and a little bit more, I guess, in line with the up to date new things that we have to help us with recruitment.
How long have you been doing it for, Ashley? How long have you been in the job for?
So 3.5 years in the business, and in operation with my own business the last 6 months.
Oh, nice. Good one. All right. Any questions, Jody?
Yeah, what kind of positions do you recruit?
Yeah, so basically I do a lot of web developers, a lot of designers. I do some business analysts and some IT managers as well. But typically the main thing I'm finding is web developers. But, I mean, when companies ask for a web developer, they're always after, like, a specific web developer. So whether it's PHP, Ruby, or Java, or whatever, they're always after a very specific sort of person, which is why they use a recruiter to try and task the right person for them.
All right. Any questions, Steve?
I do. Go ahead. So what companies do you work with? Obviously, it sounds like you work for a certain company. Well, not work for them, but they come to you, and then you already have a list of clients or employees that can possibly work for them. So what type of companies have come to you for this?
Yeah, so all the sort of companies I work for, they're all online startups is the majority. So I'm not sure if you guys are across the SitePoint group, but they're the crew behind 99 Designs, Learnable, and a few other startups. So I'm there. I've been their main recruiter for the past year and a half. And what about a little tech startups I've helped find new people.
Cool. What sort of startups have you seen?
So in terms of startups, the likes of people like Envato, the agencies like Kojo, a little company called Roster Plus, which is they're awesome. They're building retail. It tracks your staff hours, and they're building a little web application that that helps little cafes, you know, share their shifts between their staff. So I found them a PHP developer. There's also little companies like Peasy. And some other agencies like MCM Media, which runs Tech 40, and quite a few others as well.
Nice. All right. Brent, any questions?
A quick one, and this may be inappropriate, so don't answer if you don't want to. No, I'm always curious, when it's entrepreneurial, are you looking in a long-term plan to keep this thing and grow it to the best of its ability, or do you want to get it mature enough where you can sell it?
I don't see it ever getting to a part where I'd want to sell it, but I do want it to be a self-sustaining business. So I want to just, you know, create a really lean business, really tied closely with other companies, just providing recruitment is it's in the past been a very expensive service, and in the past people have only gone out to a recruiter if they couldn't fill the role themselves. But the way I see my agency going is more so tying in really closely with companies, making long-term partnerships with them to handle all of their recruitment at a lower, more reasonable cost, and then making that sustainable business with tight relationships with a lot of companies, and then just employing people who can manage each of our clients and going from there. But no need to sell the business, but just to make it a self-sustaining business would be where I see it going.
A lot of younger IT developers and software people and so forth, I guess a lot of those roles are filled by young people. Do you find yourself with a bit of an edge being able to communicate with them, being that you're probably Gen Y, you're on the same level as them rather than, you know, someone who's a bit older again? Is that sort of something that you try and use to your advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the past, like a lot of the agencies I've worked at are relying on the traditional CCAD, which you know, at the top is a bit vague and tells you, you know, my client is a large financial services company and is looking for a developer with the following skills. That's the traditional agency ad that you are seeing still at the moment. And more and more I hear from web developers that that's not what they want, that they want to know which company they're applying for, why they should work there, and what it is that, you know, they're going to get, what the culture of the company is like, what the size of the company is like, what's the location, you know, what's my boss going to be like, what sort of projects am I going to be working on. So, really trying to make advertisements especially appeal to the younger generation is really important. So if you ever Google me on Seek, if you ever Google Digital 380 on Seek, you'll see I write ridiculous ads that will emphasize ping pong at the start of the ad, because, or free beer or free cookies. You know, that just those sort of things that some people will go, well, that ad looks a bit tacky. Is that a real advertisement? But a lot of, I mean, someone from the older generation might think that, from someone from the younger generation might go, oh, yeah, I want to work where there's free beer. So, you know, some different tactics like that I definitely think help to bring in the right sort of person that I'm looking for, depending on the job.
All right.
Very cool.
Jacob, any questions for Ashley? Jacob?
Just the one.
Go ahead.
When did you first start?
So about 3.5 years ago, but 6 months ago running the own business.
Oh, nice. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. Good on you. All right, Andrew, any questions?
Yeah, you've got are you only filling positions in Australia, or do you have positions in the States as well? We've got a number of international viewers. If you've got any positions you want to plug on the show now, feel free.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of my main clients is actually San Francisco based. I am looking for people over there. I'm looking for a range of web developers. Anyone with lots of diverse skills would be great. Anyone who's ever touched on Ruby on Rails, I've definitely got some roles in San Francisco for them. If they're ever interested, just drop me an email at ashley@digital380.com.au.
And a big thank you for myself as well, Ashley. I mean, we used your service to grab James Hunt, who is our designer down at Zafo. He's doing a fantastic job doing a lot of our new user interface, a lot of the app design that we're doing. And he's quite a young guy. He's only in his early 20s. But he's been really fantastic and fit the mold and fit into our culture quite well. So I can certainly recommend that you know what you're doing as far as trying to fit the right person to the right company and culture.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, James is an excellent guy, he's the perfect or near enough perfect, resemblance of the sort of people that startups are looking for. Just really dynamic, really cross skilled, and really adaptable. Yet at the same time, I mean, and this is a lot of thing that the junior developers do lack is. It's one of the things I've seen with a lot of companies is that there's not this is a poor way of putting it, but there's not that real subservient respect for management in a lot of junior web developers. Whereas some people like James is great. He's flexible. He'll do what you say. You know, he realizes that you're the one paying the bills that will do the job, but he'll also. He'll be there at the hour in the right hours, which is something a lot of junior web developers struggle with. They don't realize that you need to come into the office, that you need to communicate with all the people in the team, and a lot of them just want to work from home. But I think he's a good example of one of the people that likes to come into work, that wants to socialize with the team, that wants to learn new technologies and really wants to get involved and build an awesome product.
All right, good stuff. Ashley, where can they get you on Twitter and stuff? Before that, Jody, any more questions? Sorry, any more questions, Jody?
No, I think you're good.
Okay, anyone else got any questions, Brent or Steve?
No, I'm good.
All right, okay, Jacob, you got something you want to review real quick. Go ahead, mate.
Okay, I can review it.
Go ahead, you can just tell, before you do it, just tell people what it is.
Well, I bought myself a voice changer.
Yeah.
So I can mask my voice.
Okay.
And I got one set right now.
Right. Okay. Well, give us a quick sample, mate, because we need to wrap up in about.
Okay, it's on right now.
What other voices?
So that's the Darth Vader. Have you got a Frank Sinatra setting?
Nope.
What other voices can it do? Wow. Turn it off. Get rid of it. It's annoying. Get rid of it.
Give it a rest.
Get rid of it. Yeah. I've got a headache already. All right, Andrew, final thoughts, mate.
Final thoughts. Just a quick thank you to everybody for being on the show, Brent and Ashley. Great to have your inputs as well, Ash, and give us an idea around tech recruitment. Good news, Jody. And if anyone wants to get me, you can get me at zafo.com/@Andrew or Facebook and Twitter @Ari from Oz.
All right, you can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz on the Tech Webcast. Jody, any final thoughts?
Great show, guys. You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept. Find me the usual places as either Jody Rains or at my website, webmarcom.net.
All right, Ashley, any final thoughts, mate?
No, that's all from me. The only thing I did want to quickly put out there is to anyone who's studying tech, don't rely on what the universities teach you. They're usually teaching people pretty generic skills. I really recommend at the moment getting into some hardcore JavaScript programming, maybe some hardcore Ruby on Rails programming, or even iPhone or Objective-C programming. But just for people who are out there who are studying at university at the moment, don't rely on universities because they're usually teaching you things that are quite out of date. So just do your own research, find out what's up to date, and try and get into a really hot technology. And as a reward, you'll get a much higher salary.
Does that cost money?
It can, but there are things online that you can do which are free of charge. So you can jump on something like www.learnable.com.au, or you can jump on Code Academy, and you can really upskill yourself in a language of, like Ruby on Rails, which is much more in demand. And you'll find that 3 years out of university, you'll be on a salary of $90,000 when your counterpart might be on $65,000.
Just a really quick question on that, Ashley. The people who you're recruiting for, do they have prerequisites with university degrees and things, or will they accept somebody without a degree on a reasonable salary who can show proof of tech?
Yeah, absolutely not. And in fact, a university degree is great, but I've had people say that I prefer someone without a university degree for the sole reason that if you are into IT without having a degree, it shows a huge passion for what you do. And that's the main thing that what my clients are looking for is passion. They want to see people with GitHub accounts that build their own things at home, that can contribute to open source and that sort of thing. A university degree is definitely not essential. It's a great starting point, and if you haven't got a degree before, it's a good it's a good maturing phase, but it's absolutely not essential. Okay. If you love technology, go on learnable.com.au, learn to develop, and you'll definitely get a job.
All right, good stuff.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Where can we find you, Ashley? Where can we find you on the interwebs, mate?
Just hit me up at Ashley at digital380.com.au.
All right, you on Twitter, mate?
At recruiting devs.
Personal Twitter? You got a personal Twitter account?
Oh, I know, that is my personal one.
Okay, sweet. Okay, Brent, what are your final thoughts, mate?
Thanks for having me. I don't have any contact information. I'm going to be hiding in my bunker avoiding the NSA here in the States.
All right, good to have you on, Brent. Come back anytime, mate. You're a legend. Steve.
Yeah, it was interesting what he just said about, or Ashley said about some of the university stuff. You can find me here on chatter or justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude and on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
And Jacob, final thoughts and that sort of good stuff.
That was a good show, and thanks for being on, Ashley.
Not a problem.
And this has been episode 245. Andrew, I am off to Apple Store. Catch us next week.
See you soon.
See ya.
I want to go too.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Pod.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace.
Crap.